good morning, and we want to welcome you to Awaken Memphis this morning, and we're so glad you're with us, either in person or be joining us on the radio on Sunday morning. We got a lot going today, but we're going to kick it off as usual. Ray Bratcher is going to come up and lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance. Ray's a Vietnam vet, and we sure do appreciate you, Ray. Go ahead.
Join me, if you will, as we pledge allegiance.
Yeah.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this morning, I know it's election day here in Memphis this morning, and we have somebody here that's sneaking in the important things first, and that's to come meet with the Lord. And Fred Tappan is running for the U.S. Senate race here in Memphis. We've been big supporters, not only trying to support Fred, but praying for Fred. We need godly leadership in our city and in our state. And a big part of Awaken Memphis is we've been praying for the welfare of our city, our state, our nation, and our world. So, Fred, I know you've got a busy day. I hope you'll lead the way for us this election day. Would you come up and just kick us off with a prayer, Fred? We sure do appreciate you. Love you, brother.
Thank you. All my life, you have been faithful.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Lord, we thank you today for giving us this opportunity to give you praise and glory, for you are so worthy. We worship you. We honor you. We pledge allegiance to you, Father. We love everything about you, your presence, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for a brand new mercy every day. We thank you, Lord, that you even said in your word you love us so much that you would make rivers in the desert. Thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for us to prosper us and not to harm us. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we will give you praise. Father, I ask that you bless each and every person that is under the sound of my voice, this city, this state, this nation. Father, we need you right now. On this day that we will choose leadership, Father, we ask that you allow your precious Holy Spirit to lead and guide us to make the right decisions. Don't let a party be the reason that we make a decision, Lord. Let it be about following the leading of your precious Holy Ghost. Cover our city, Lord, Father. We need you right now. Crime is rampant, and we need a covering from you right now, Lord. And Father God, I just know that you are God and God all by yourself. I'm going to stay in my lane, and my lane is to give you praise and glory. And Lord, as this day goes forward, Father, I ask you to humble my heart, humble my mind, humble my spirit. Let everything that I say be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we need you, Father. And Lord, as I close this prayer, you be our leader, you be our guide, order our steps, our heart, our minds, and our words. And Lord, for you, we live. Because for us, you died. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I am just overjoyed, and thank each and every one of you. This has been the toughest thing that I've done in my life, but I know that God is in it, And I praise God for allowing me to do it. I want to encourage each and every one of you that have, if you haven't voted, we want you to vote. Vote today. Vote your conscience, vote your heart. Let God do the leading. And no matter what happens at the end of the night, we will be victorious in the name of Jesus. And can I show the flag? This is a flag that my dear brother, he came and supported me at Danvers at a at one of our campaign meetings, and he left his flag. And I know how important this flag is to him. I know how important it is to me. The very people that we were trying to help 2 weeks ago, you know, we're out doing this big community event and trying to keep the kids off the street, trying to keep fentanyl from them. And someone stole our truck off the church parking lot. And we had some in the group. We had one more night. We did it for three nights. We had one more night. And they were saying, you know, that's terrible. The very people that we're trying to help are the very ones that are doing negative stuff to us. I said, that's why we're here. That lets us know we're in the right place and doing the right thing. We will not grow weary in our well-doing. For our well-doing is for Christ himself. And our job is to be a blessing to each and every one of those. Should the people who stole the car, do they have to be punished? Yeah, they do. But we're trying to stop the next one. We're trying to be a blessing to that next group to let them know that God loves them and there's a better way and there's a better choice in life. And I want to present this flag back to you because even though they stole the car, they did not steal the flag.
Thank you so much.
And I just had back surgery. Praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your prayers. I had this day yesterday, I had major back surgery. I'm back up. Look at me. God is still in the healing business.
So, Father, we are very grateful to be able to come into your courts this morning. Yes. Father, everyone here is greatly desiring to bless your name, to yes. praise the Mika Moka, the one and only Father.
Yes.
Father, because you are worthy of all our praise. Father, we are blown away that you would consider us. What is man that thou consider him, the Son of Man that thou yes. visited him? And let you have, Father. You have come to this earth. Your Son came to this earth and was the living example of your exact representation. And so we praise him today. We honor him and we worship him with all of our being. And we say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Father, we do have concerns on our hearts today. And we certainly want to pray, first of all, for Ray Brasher's surgery that he's having today, Lord. That you will be with the doctors and nurses as they minister him, and that you will cause him to come to full healing once again in his shoulder, better than it's ever been before.
Yes.
We pray your blessings upon his surgery at this time, and be with his wife as she concerns herself over him, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we pray for Fred in his great day today, his day of election, that he will be elected, that people in Shelby County will come out and vote for him because he is the best candidate to run in that office. Father, we lay that in your hands. We've done everything we can do. Fred has done everything he can do. His workers have done everything, but now we leave it up to you to bring it to fruition, Lord. We pray over his back surgery that you will continue to strengthen him in his recovery there. And Father, we want to lift up to you Marie Lee, who is the wife of Bill Lee. And we pray over her health at this time as she is dealing with some issues with her health. We just pray your blessings over her. We pray that she will come to full recovery and have victory over this that is annoying her at this time and that is threatening her life. So we pray over her. Father, we do pray. We pray believing that anything we ask in Jesus' name, you will accomplish for us. We pray in a certain way that is to say thank you already, because even as we say it, you've already done it. Because we're not asking of anything for ourselves, we're asking of those things for others. And Father, that is the second greatest commandment, love for others. So Father, we are very thankful for this time of worship. We pray that you'll bless it, and we pray your blessings upon Shelby Farms and our work that we do out there, that you will anoint the hearts of those who walk among the park and ride their bikes and do the fishing and everything and being with their families, and that we will come to them and they will have hearts that are fertile for your gospel.
Yes.
And that you will cause people, many people, to come. But help us also to realize that it's not just Shelby Farms that we should be sharing the gospel with. It is with every person that we meet. It's with that person in Kroger's. It's that with that downtrodden man on the corner of the street. Father, you love all people, and you never give up on any of us, Father. And that even in the 11th hour of our life, you have not withdrawn your favor from us. If we would come to you in faith in Jesus and repentance. So, Father, be with this worship and be with us as we try to sing your praises, not just here, but in every thought and every action of our life, that you may be glorified and not us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, thank you. Y'all, I have prayed that this flag would show up. This, I would be remiss to not have paid. Take this few minutes, a few seconds. Or
I can't.
This is a delivery. He does it many ways. And he looks, he seeks that we know the same things.
Thanks for defending the flag.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. And we're looking forward to see what God does with all of this. We're going to welcome new people now. So is there anybody here for the first time? All right, back here in the back of the room. Where are you from? Well, we're sure glad you came. Awesome. Well, welcome. You're welcome every Tuesday morning at 6:15 a.m.
What
did you do at Christ Church?
I work in missions.
And what did you do with Burundi?
We were the team camp.
All right. Anybody else here for the first time?
My name's David. I'm from Romania.
Oh, you get the reward. I think he came the furthest this morning. He came from Romania. Well, you're welcome. You're sure welcome. And Bill, we know you're here.
I just want to say, David's name is Steve Copeland. And we just went to University of Arkansas together. This guy and I witnessed hundreds of people give out hundreds of tracts at Fayetteville at the homecoming game. And he learned to do that with Steve. Steve's trip to Romania.
Yeah.
He took them out of Romania. His family.
All right. Well, we're sure glad you.
He's ready for Sunday night. Who's this in the red shirt back here, Henry?
I don't know. Who's that in the red shirt who's here for the first time? We want to, come on, Chuck. He's my nephew, so he had the shortest distance to come, except for maybe David. David was like 10 yards closer this morning. Well, if you wondered what you just walked into, Awaken Me is a coalition of followers of Christ that had come together from different denominations, different churches. We're here to promote the welfare of our city. We're here to promote the welfare of our churches. We're here to promote the welfare of the kingdom of God. And we do that in three different ways. One is the meeting you're in this morning, where we worship, praise. We have great speakers that are really plugged in, and we're going to hear from one in just a minute. And the second thing we do is we pray on Monday nights. We're in our 133rd week, praise the Lord, and we are on a Zoom call, and we're praying for those very things, and God is answering. And so what is the practical side of what we do? The practical side of what we do is, you know, there's two kinds of people in the world, those that need to speak and those that need to hear. And so those of us that are supposed to speak, followers of Christ, we're supposed to speak the good news. And we're supposed to speak it to who? to those who need to hear. And there's two types of hearers. There's ones that are far from God and they don't even know what they're missing. And then there's a whole lot of people that maybe they know Jesus, but they're really struggling on how to follow him. They don't understand that Jesus said, go make disciples. Go baptize. Go teach all the things that I have commanded. They don't understand how to do that. And so when we run into them out at Shelby Farms, you've heard a lot about Shelby Farms. Shelby Farms from 3 to 5 now. They like catching up with us. So we're there from 3 to 5. And we're out there engaging the nations. And yes, the nations are in Shelby Farms. And another good point is we not only encourage that at Shelby Farms, we encourage that all week long in your life. So I'll ask this question. How many people did you engage in the last 7 days that are far from God? How many? Just you can write that number down and turn it into Jesus when you get home. Because he is concerned about that, because that is the ministry of reconciliation you are given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if it's nobody or zero, then okay, I'll give you some slack. Maybe you're on vacation this past week. How many in the last month? If that's a zero and you're wondering where Jesus is in your life, he's out there on the mission field. I don't know where you are, but he's out there on the mission field. So if you need help doing that, that's why we're here. Come pray with us. Come follow us around. Get engaged in the kingdom of God if you want to see Jesus in a real way. Now, in just a second, we're going to have Rozelle come up here and pray for our speaker, Michael. But we've also got a special guest that's going to give a little report from Uganda, from Gulu. Our sister, Carol Ward, is going to come up and spend a couple of minutes, just a couple, two or three, because we got a lot going this morning. And she's got five. She's a special. She came almost the farthest. Well, I don't know. Uganda may be further than Romania. Maybe I gave the title out to the wrong person. Carol's been here with Memphis Tabernacle and speaking with different groups. She is a long friend of the Awaken Me. And one last thing, if you want to catch this, it's on JesusHelps.me with an S. JesusHelps.me. This will be loaded up to the website if you can't listen to it on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on KWAM. Carol?
Amen. Thank you, Henry and David and everybody. Good to see you this morning. And I want to encourage you all as we're encouraging one another in our number one calling, and that is to make Jesus known. And the salvation and the harvest is ready. It's not 4 months from now. So I'm actually in South Sudan now. So I handed over Uganda. My permanent address is South Sudan and Sudan, and I'm going on to Chad. So if anybody want to take over South Sudan, I'll hand it over to you so I can go to Chad. So we're moving northward with the gospel into the darker and darker areas. As I've been over there for 20 years, I can say today, fast forward, started with prayer, but we have 700 indigenous trained missionaries today, Arabic speaking, and we're in 8 nations. I say we. I went over alone when U.S. Embassy said those war zones are off limits. We've evacuated missionaries. You can't go. And I said, well, they didn't ask about the weather and the safety and all that kind of stuff in the Book of Acts. They went. And so that's what I've done according to where the Lord's leading, because there's people that have never heard. So when we do spiritual mapping, as I've been encouraging in Memphis, we get a map out. We literally get a map and spread on the table. And we say, who's going to take this zone and this zone and this zone? How are we going to pray? How are we going to invade? How are we going to go into the deepest darkness? We're doing that now with 8 nations. So Central Africa, Ethiopia, Chad, Congo, and the goal is the whole northern part of Africa. Lausanne Missionary Movement has said that the greatest harvest coming in right now is in the continent of Africa. We're seeing 5,000 to 6,000 souls a month come to Jesus with discipleship. And that means joining our portable Bible schools, our bush training. But with 700 missionaries, we can activate that. So we have country coordinators and an incredible New Testament church structure. I want to tell you one testimony, though. As I was just finishing a missionary training school the last 2 months in Juba, 240 of our Arabic-speaking missionaries from 8 countries were there for 2 months on the campus. Praise and worship was through the roof. These guys have been beaten and imprisoned for the gospel. And when you say how many of you are ready to go farther and farther north into regions of terrorism, every hand will just shoot up. Send me. And they will say to us what Jim Elliott's words were, except they don't know Jim Elliott. But it's the gospel. Why wouldn't we give what is temporal to gain what is eternal? Our eternity is secure. Theirs isn't. And if we don't go into darkness, how will darkness ever dissipate? And so they go. So there was a 3-week prayer and fast we were having before this missionary training school started for the terrorism that was going on in Darfur and Khartoum, and asking the Lord, how can we bring the underground church above ground? 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. During that time, the Lord Jesus came in a dream, as we're hearing, to one of the main Islamic terrorists in Khartoum. His name was Mujahid. He was an imam terrorist, and he had burned 118 churches, had many pastors and Christians killed, executed, and imprisoned. And God came to him 4 nights. He didn't know it was God, but somebody came to him, he said, and said, you're on the wrong side of the fence, guy, and you're going to die on that side, and it's dangerous. It scared the fire out of him. So for 4 nights in a row, he finally said, whoever you are, I yield. Now, when he told his imam brothers about that, they knew what he had done. He had defected. And so they terrorized him and threatened him. He ran from Khartoum, ended up in Juba, heard Jesus on our radio station in Arabic, and said, I think I need to go find out what I've just done. He followed the address, came into our station, and as our key leader met him, he's in his long white gown, you know, in his imam attire, he told him what he had just done and introduced him to the true prophet. As he confirmed his salvation that day, our key leader, Gabriel, said, by the way, we have a missionary training school starting next week. Come and join us. God's called you to do missions. God never calls us to sit. He calls us to serve. Amen. So Mujahid came into that missionary training school with 240 South Sudanese speaking people living on our campus. And I met him immediately. He comes up to me and he says, can I share my testimony? I said, sure. So that day he comes up to the platform in front of a 240. Well, actually it was almost 300 by the time we had our staff there. Two men on the either side of him, Sudanese men. And he starts saying, this man, I burned his church down, had him beaten, thrown in prison, and gave orders for his execution. And he's standing right beside him. He said, he found me and recognized me in this Bible school. And he knew who I was and came up and embraced me and said, I have forgiven you for what you've done. He said, this man, I tortured his parents, had them killed, put him in prison, and gave orders for him to be executed. And he was miraculously released. These were two of our own missionaries. And we knew that they'd been through persecution, but we didn't know who the persecutor was. And now Mujahid was standing there, and God was joining the hearts of the persecuted and the persecutor to join missions together. And he said, they came and forgave me, both of them did, and they want to go with me and take me into Northern Africa, and I'm going to take them to the areas of terrorism with the gospel, and we're going to go together. So that is what is happening there. God is turning mission fields into mission forces very rapidly, and we give him glory. So you can get our updates and pray for the move of God and the harvest on this continent. Pick up a book on spiritual warfare. But God bless you. We love you guys, and our hearts are knit. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Roselle, I'm going to get you to come on up now. And do you want to be a part of this? If you want to be a part of following the most dynamic, fun-filled, awesome life, it's called the Abundant Life. come join us. Join us on Monday night as we pray. Join us on Sunday as we go. Recruit somebody to come with you on Tuesday morning. Get involved with this. A real quick update from Laos. We'll call him Mr. T. Mr. T went to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. The Hindu police tracked him down in front of his church and they shot and killed him. The church is taking care of him. What's come out of this? Two denominations that wouldn't speak to each other now have joined hands and decided that they're going to engage this unreached, unengaged people group that's nearby. So God has a way of taking what we think is, oh no, and turning it into something that he is weaving behind the scenes for his kingdom and his glory. Don't you want to be a part of this? So come join us. Come get in on this. We're not in the peacetime army. My brother Roselle, he's in the harvest every week. He's been working for many years in prisons. And Roselle, I'm going to have you introduce our speaker.
Yes, sir.
And
praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made. And he said we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. The reason being is because the Lord has made this day. And see, we need to understand that God is sending forth his word. And Jesus will not return until the gospel is preached everywhere. So this morning we have a speaker, my brother. We do prayers and ministry together. I do first, third, and fifth. He do second and fourth Sunday in the same prison. He's been doing it 20 years or more. And I met this brother in the prison. And, you know, it went by happenstance or accident. It was by God's design. And ever since we met, we've been about the kingdom business. And we do prison fellowship dinners. We do a lot of things. We even have Super Bowl party in the maximum side of the prison. That's how the favor of God works. When men are willing to go and share the good news, which is the gospel. And so God is calling us, as it's been said, to awake in Memphis. Jesus helps me. Okay, I ain't gonna preach, but I want you to understand how serious this is. This is not a game. This is not a social club. This is about the kingdom. And God inhabit the praises of his people because praise is a weapon against the enemy. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you glory this morning. Speak, Lord, as only you can. We are your children. We are listening. Lord, we are engaged and understand, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Introduce the son and present the other, my brother, Michael Cassie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning as God made it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. First, giving honor to God and to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, it's been a rough week for me. I was dealing with some chest issues and not feeling very well. But I knew that God had already healed me.
Amen.
With his stripes, I were healed. So I don't really too much worry about it. And what a testimony about, especially when I heard Uganda. As soon as they said Uganda, as a young kid, you know, coming out of the Nation of Islam, and, you know, I thought back to many days in the Communist Party. My first mission trip with Southern Bible Institute was into Africa. I had, you know, I barely went anywhere outside of Los Angeles and then outside of Texas. And then I'm in six countries. You know, as a young kid who didn't study history, I didn't even know where Africa was. If I went up to the map, I remember history teachers used to say, I want you to go point at Africa. And they're picking the different, the countries. And I don't know why she picked the black person to go to Africa, right? And like, Michael, will you go up to the map and point it out? Like, I don't even know where Africa is. Kind of felt bad back in them days, I'm a black guy, I'm supposed to be, and couldn't find Africa. But that was the experience. When I got there in Uganda, Idi Amin had just got kicked out of Uganda, or he left. So there was a lot of unrest, a lot of tension. But what I saw, as she described, two missionary women who did mission work in Uganda, would take me all around to the different tribes and knew the language. I mean, I remember going to checkpoint and they pointing shotguns, machine guns, checking, and little young kids with machine guns. And I'm like, what is this little kid doing with a machine gun? But that's real. That was real. It was a waking experience for me, because when I got back to John F. Kennedy Airport in New York, and hit landed that plane, I looked up and I said, I know what it means to be better than blessed. Amen. We got it made, but should we? We're no better than anybody else. And what she described of missionaries who work in other countries, and this is called awakening Memphis, or even awakening us. What are we doing here? Amen. I know why we're not most of the time. When I say we, remember when I say use the word we, the plural? If the shoe fits.
Yes.
If I ain't talking to you, but normally the shoe fits in different ways. If you don't think this message is going to apply to you, go get a shoehorn. I talked last week about worship. Paul did worship this morning. That's a form of worship, where we're praising God, singing praises, enjoying, the opportunity to sing to God, right, in the morning, in the early morning. Glorify God, as she says. And I talked about worship of acceptance. And there are all different forms of worship. I bought my Bible dictionary, but I'm not even going to read that. It's so much in there. I'm like, man, it's like three pages on worship. I can't be reading that David will have a fit. And I talked about that you have to accept the role that God has called you to do. He calls Abraham, as you remember from last week, for those who were here, and he says, I want you to go kill your son as a form of worship. That's what we read it. And he said, and we're going, me and the child, we're going, y'all stay here. And he ain't even in on it, the kid. He said, me and my son, we're going to worship God. No, you're going to kill your son and you call that worship? You have to accept whatever God gives you. If it's worshiping or ministering to one person. I was at a FedEx forum with the Grizzlies last night, me and Chad Chilcutt. Because I sure can't afford to go to no games, and some guy gave Chad two tickets, so we was in some nice seats, too. I'd never been up in the forum in these kind of seats. But what I did, I felt the spirit of evil at the forum. It was a nice little basketball game, saw some good plays. I went to get something to eat, and the Holy Spirit just said, watch everybody. You thought you came here to watch the game. I want you to watch the people. As I was going to get something to eat, people were passing me by, and nobody really was speaking. You're in a crowd of people. And it was like I was in another world. Like an out-of-body experience. I could tell, I don't want to call nobody out of their names, how they dressed, who their mate was. Some girls with girls and boys with boys and old men with young men. And I just felt evil in the presence. And God said, this is what I want you to see. It ain't really about a basketball game. Though I want you to feel relaxed. You got a thing to do in the morning. But I seen some stuff that I said, man, we way behind. There ain't nothing else going to walk in the FedEx form and start ministering. Maybe me. And you never know by your presence how God speaks to you. I like to work out. The first time I hadn't feeling good, so I went to East Border. I like to play racquetball, but I didn't play. I went to the sauna. I had nasal just to sit in there for about 30 minutes. So I did, but when I was on my way to the sauna, I had a Faith Walk t-shirt on in the back of it. It got a black hand, white hand, orange hand on the back of my t-shirt together. It said, we are together, right? And so as I was going to back to the sauna, I heard this voice. I like that shirt. And I turned around. There was only one dude in the locker room, Hispanic, Latino. And he was just sitting there smiling. He had his shirt off. He had tattoos all over his arm and neck. And I looked at him. I said, thank you. But the look on his face was like he was an angel or something. It kind of startled me there for a minute, and I kept going walking to the sauna, and I even kind of looked back to see if I could see him. And then he was gone. And then I get in the sauna, and I'm sitting there. It's like a barbershop. A lot of stuff goes on in the sauna with men. Guys come in there talking about their job. We got a lot of, you know, people that come in there, work for the fire department, police department, whatever. They work out. So these guys always doing a conversation. I'm just sitting there. I got my earplugs in, listening, but I could still hear them. And this one dude that came in, it was not a lot of room to get in. When he walked in the sauna, it was crowded. So I kind of like moved over. And then a Latino guy moved that way, and he came. Big, tall brother. Tattoos on his arm. He walks in, sits next between me. And he said, hey, man, thank you. Because I took the time just to scoot over. And then he got into conversation with these other guys. Little did I know he was a police officer, young police officer. So when I got out, he was actually defending, you know, a lot of things that go on in the world that were good, that we call evil. So when I got out, I saw him in the locker room. I said, hey, man, I appreciate that, man. There ain't a lot of young people. And I didn't know he was a police officer then. That'll stand up for what's right. He said, well, I'm a police officer. That's what he told me. And I said, you never know who you're around. Because from the first outlook of it, he had a lot of tattoos on. I really couldn't pick him out as a police officer. So you can't identify people with bodies and earrings and whatever. Because God said, man will look at your outward appearance. He said, but I'm going to look at your heart. So the whole idea of worship goes in many aspects of life. Did you worship? You think you're here because you woke yourself up? You're fooling yourself. It's time to wake up. High time to awake. Your salvation is nearer than what we believe. And God wants to wake up the church. We got a lot going. This is like, to me, coming into Memphis or whatever, you know, born in the Bronx, raised in South Central Los Angeles, and then coming into the South, man, I was like, man, it's blowing me away. So quiet, people look like they're real friendly. I wasn't used to that. But then I saw this is a harvest. A harvest of people who need to hear the gospel. And that's our job. That's our job. Nobody should get any more glory than another person for just doing your job. It's like people who want to raise. Do your job. Just do your job. Maybe here in Memphis and outlying areas, different counties, we can do our job and see thousands and thousands come to the Lord right here in our city. So we don't have to worry about whether a certain person running for office who love God can get in. We have enough people to vote him in. So what kind of worship have you been doing lately besides singing? If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel. I want to show you another form of worship. You know, I always tell the Lord, can I get some of them like easy messages? Like God is love and God so loved the world. I like them easy. I like God when I walk out the church, I'm like, hey, Brother Cassie, hey, man, praise God, praise God. I don't like always walking out of a church and everybody kind of staring at me. I hope you got, you know, I'm thinking maybe they got convicted. I don't know. She mentioned something about missionaries. They don't care about terrorism. That excited me. That was like me when I used to get high off of cocaine or drinking alcohol. I get a rush over stories like that. That's incredible. To get a rush over listening to people who are volunteering to die. You know why I get that rush? Because I'm in the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is saying, I want you to be just like that. Because if you're going to be fearful, I don't need you. I can't use you. You can't walk into a community of gangbangers, liars, murderers. We in the prison all the time. We ain't got no guns. You know, I may study karate, but that ain't going, you know, that's a lot of prisoners to be fighting. I don't think I'm going to come out a winner on that end. I may get a few. But the whole idea is that I have eternal life. And that's the key to worship, is accepting who you are, what you have, and what God has called you to do. And together, all of us together, could do the job God sent us to do. Without fear. I didn't give you the spirit of fear, remember? I gave you power. Use it sometime. Love, understand it, and a sound mind. Think before you act. And you'll produce that crop that God intended to produce. Because he doesn't need us. When you always wake up and realize that God wants to use us. If you think of yourself more highly than you ought, is something wrong with you. You should have, you know, this is what I tell people all the time. You shouldn't have gave me the Bible. You shouldn't have let me get saved. You shouldn't have introduced me to Jesus. Oh, yeah, you should, right? That's the whole thought of it. But when you do that, you're giving me something like an atomic bomb of information that I'm willing to share now because I know I'm nothing. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. There is none, God said, that doeth good. No, not one. Now, we know what that means in a sense, being Christians and born again. But when you accept your responsibility of who you are and what you do, and God is, what did the word he always use? He tested Abram. You think you bigger than Abram? You think you bigger than Noah? You think you bigger than David? None of us are bigger than anyone. I don't care what you call yourself. On the streets, we don't care. When I was on the streets, we didn't care who you were. That's a real world out there. And we don't know what's going to happen in our lives, but you better be ready for this warfare. If you can't stand the heat, you know what they say. Get out of the kitchen. This ain't for you. This ain't for playboys and playgirls. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It got more power than an atomic bomb. If you just believe in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus coming back, you know more than most people. And you're willing to die because you got eternal life, because you can't die. That's why missionaries do that. They never hear the gospel, and then we send missionaries over there. Man, they get hit with Jesus. They like willing to do anything. That doesn't surprise me. before when God told me in my living room as a Muslim that, hey, you've been praying for the wrong God. There's no Allah. You was talking to me all the time. Okay. So now you was willing to follow Allah. You're willing to kill for Allah. Now you found there is no Allah. Now what you gonna do? You was willing to kill for a gang. You was willing to get killed dealing in drugs and stealing and lying. You're taking the risk. And you knew there were risks. That's what they say in prison. Can't do the time, don't commit the crime. You know there's risk. So when you became a born-again Christian, you knew there was some risk to follow Jesus. And I'm Jesus, 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 Jesus. David knew it. How do you call a man after God's own heart killing people? Committing adultery. I'm reading about it. And then we got that nerve to our snotty nose to look down on somebody on this earth. Half of these people in this Bible wasn't no good that God used for his glory. None of us, no one in this room. You know, I don't get to preach a lot of places, but I do on the streets. I told you I feel more comfortable. I sung with the choir. I didn't really sing, but they did let me do the Psalms, right? I was nervous. I was more nervous in the church than I am in a prison. Now, you figure that one out. Because I didn't want to mess up in the church. I had to do Psalm 147. I had to memorize virtually the whole Psalm and talk it right in front of Faith Baptist Church family. Before I was, my leg was shaking. See, that's when you call on the Holy Ghost. So I put this on you, Holy Ghost. Anoint me. Take me out of self. So David in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, David's in a position to worship God. He's already failed God. God sends Nathan, and God is going to send somebody, whether it's the Holy Spirit or somebody, to your doorstep to warn you and to tell you what you just did. I'm going to start at verse 13. It won't be long. Don't worry. And we all preachers say that. So David said to Nathan in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 12, I have sinned against the Lord. I like that. You see, the first recognition before once you accept, you know, really I took the word acceptance out of context for what I wanted to do as David was talking about revival. You can't have a revival until God ignites a real revival. But the ignition of that revival, the igniting of that revival will come for Jesus. Jesus will start the revival. Because without Jesus, there is no revival. So you can just leave that out. Jesus plus nothing is just Jesus. Leave everything alone and take Jesus with you. You're armed. You got living in you. You got the Holy Spirit in you. The third person of the Godhead, you're armed. You're already armed. You got a nuclear bomb about to explode that you carry around every day. And so David says, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also have put away your sin. You shall not die. God does change his mind at that. He never changes being God. However, see, there's always that hour, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed. Say what you got to say and get out of there. You ain't got to worry about how they receive it if God told you to tell them. Don't be afraid. They say, oh, I'm scared they ain't going to like me. I don't really care. Do you? Sure, we want to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked. But that was a hard job for Nathan to go have to tell David this. After that whole little story about the lamb. The little ewe lamb. About the whole story. About what he did. Here's the key to revival, one of them. Should have been first, but I kept it second for this week. Not only should there be a worship of accepting your role, but you got to repent. Worship of repentance. Repentance, of course, means a change of mind and a change of direction, but in God's direction. I don't think there's enough repenting because I don't believe there's enough conviction. Confessing, if my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn repentance from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then I shall forgive them. Then will I heal their land. There's always that then somewhere. Don't care about how good you preach, even how good you sing, that's good. But it's all about Jesus anyway, because he didn't need us. He could have did it by himself. He got mules talking. He got said rocks could cry out. Think about it. You know what's our problem? Sometimes we just don't think on these things. As the book of Philippians says, think on these things. Those things that are true, huh? Noble. Lovely. Of good report. He says, take the time before you make a move and think about what's about to go down. And you ready for the consequences of this, whether good or bad? So he tells David, he said, verse 5, then Nathan departed, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David. It became ill. David, therefore, look at David. This is what repentance does. Pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and wept. We always talk about fasting, and David's crying and laid all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose, went to him, raised him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, notice it's always a certain day, it came to pass that the child died, just like God said. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, well, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw, when I read that, what did I see at the FedEx 4? God gives us these spiritual eyes. What do I hear? The chatter that I hear at. The language that is used. Now I have to process this. I couldn't really enjoy the game and really didn't enjoy that the Grizzlies lost. But the whole idea was the atmosphere. It wasn't like it's supposed to be. Everybody just doing their own thing. All the other people speak to you here and there. And I was in a curtain thing, row 112. And in 112, when it's like 112, 113, and 112 is a curtain that when you go in, the seats are at the rail, and it's only like for special people in here. I said, they must pay a lot of money to get these kind of seats up here. And God said, yeah, you don't even need to be a season ticket holder. I'll just send people to give you tickets. Maybe you need to use your money for ministry. See, God has a way of putting you in places and putting in touch with people. I got a text from a guy I didn't even know. I mean, I don't know who gave him my number, maybe the church. Told me his name. He said he'd like to get involved in prison ministry. Could I meet him for breakfast? I said, well, who told you? Gave you my number? He said, well, Pastor Brian Carlisle? I said, oh, yeah, I know Brian. Brian is the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Arlington. He said, yeah, he said he comes to our church in Somerville on every Wednesday, does a talk, and I was asking him about prison ministry, and he said, I know just the person you need to talk to. Now, I ain't seen Brian in a long while, but Brian gave him my name and my number, and I met him at IHOP, not even feeling good. And now he's going to go to the prison dinner with us on December the 3rd. See, God has a way of putting people. I got another text the other day from Derek Vernon's sister. Derek Vernon's been in prison for 27 years, just got out. He's in Texas right now. He has a conflict between him and his sisters. But she, I ain't going to say her name. She called me, or texted me, and said the Holy Spirit got all over her, and it's time to get her children and her family in the church. And we chose Faith Baptist Church. She was there Sunday, too. See, we don't know what God is up to. We just got to keep doing what we're supposed to do. We may not even see or see the things that God is working on right now or the fruit of it. And later we will. And maybe we even won't even see that till we get to heaven. But David's in this. They scared of David now. Think about the people around you. And see what David saw. David said he saw his servants whispering. Who looks at people whispering? And how you know they whispering about you? Feeling a little guilt here? David perceived that the child was dead. Then David said to his servant, is the child dead? See, sometimes we got to ask people questions. You like me or you don't like me? You want to use me or you don't want to use me? Can I go or can't I go? What's the problem? Let's settle it. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. You have aught with your brother or sister. Go to them. And if you can't figure it out, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And if they won't hear them, take it to the church. And if they won't hear the church, get rid of them. Who says talks like that? Who talks like that, God? Yeah, he's a God of love, but he's a God of judgment, too, and he's a God of wrath. And so we need to repent every time we sin. Whether it's a bad thought or whatever it is, we need to repent. Because he told Moses, first of all, you standing on holy ground, take your shoes off. You ain't finna talk to me. You standing before a holy God, take your shoes off. As simple as taking your shoes off, we would have people get mad at us. You know why you don't believe like God sent a lot of people? Because there's a lot of people in this world is not anointed of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of men. Oh, they got the education. They got the knowledge. The doctorates and PhDs. But not them boys that Jesus was hanging out with. The only way they could tell what education they had, beside probably Paul, is that they had been with Jesus. When the last time you've been with Jesus? Because somebody going to know it. Yeah. And it really don't have to be a T-shirt. It's your presence. It's your presence. And so as we end, David said to his servant, is the child dead? Asking questions. They said, he is dead. Yeah, that's a fact, D. We didn't want to tell you, but he dead. So David arose. This is what we do. He rose from the ground. He washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord. And what did he do? He worshiped. Worship of repentance. He didn't sing a song. David said, I was repenting. God, it was my fault. Now you took the boy. I love this kid. Why should he have to pay for my sin? You know, I should be paying for his sin. Well, are we saying that to Jesus? Because he paid for all of our sins. Past, present, and future. And David said, hey, okay. See, what happens? Maybe, you know, I like in the Old Testament that they had a certain amount of grieving time. Might be 7 days. Once the 7 days was over, they go back to work. Grief gone. You say, oh, that's not, that's, oh, that's so, you know, his mother died and his son died and there was a horrible crash and accident. And then we not only are sad, which we should be, God gave us tears and sadness and eyes, all that, and he gave us grief. But if we stay there,
We can't be useful vessels for the glory and the honor of God. You can't stay there. How do I know it? From this verse right here. He washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We got to change the clothes. Take the old off, put on the new. Changed his apparel. He actually changed his mind. He went into the house of the Lord for worship. Then he went to his own house. When he requested, they set food before him. He ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food?" And David said, "Well, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, just like you said. But who could tell whether the Lord would be gracious to me that the child might live? But now he is dead." Don't that seem kind of hard? Anyway, did you just look? See, David took care of the repentance, the anguish, and the grief while he was laying on that ground. And he got it all out of his system. But once it came out of his system, when you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I love my mother. I love all my three brothers that got killed in the street. I love my son born on my birthday got killed in the elevator when I just got saved. I miss all that. I miss them meals with the family. I miss them good family reunions. But I got a job to do. I can't worry that it pops up on the calendar. It's their anniversary or their death of this or that. I don't say don't worry, don't care. It's like you did care. Get it out of your system. I know this ain't a likable message. Personally, I care, but I don't care. Because there are people in my family dying right now today. I don't know if you care about them. But I do. Your family, your nieces, your nephews, here I am. You need me? Send me. You don't want to tell them? I'll tell him. Got a son who thinks he's a homosexual. No, you're not. Well, you know, Calvin's never going to. I don't care. He got to stand before God. I got to worry that he makes it in, whether I should be nice to him. So David ate, fasted. He said, "I don't know." He said, "But now," verse 23, "he is dead. Why should I fast?" What are you still fasting for? What are you fasting about? How many times do you got to fast? Is there a certain number? Do we do the Daniel fast today? Maybe the Abraham fast tomorrow? And while you're still fasting, people are dying in the streets in Uganda, Nigeria, Senegal, the Middle East, South Central, Fraser, Nutbush. Do you really even care? Your work shall follow you when you care. He said, "But now he's dead. What reason do I have to fast? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." Amen. See, my son, when God told me that he took him out of the body before the elevator smashed this body that can't get in, that was enough for me. Nah, I didn't get to grow up with him. He was 16 years old, born. Every dad wants to have that little with his son. I got a boy on my birthday, firstborn, and then he's gone. I ain't got time to grieve. I already grieved. I didn't even cry at the funeral. But I cried in my own little time. But after that, it's time to go to work. Hey, Darrell, I'm going to work. See you when I get there and when God is through with me. Amen. I don't know how you're going to pull this off, but he's God. I ain't got to worry about it. He put me on the earth for a job. He let me go through Islam, communism, gangbanging, drug dealing, all his other crap. And then he put me in a living room and he introduced himself to me. I'll never forget it. And people want me to be afraid. You forget it. You could forget it. I'm not. I'm sorry. I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid to die physically. Because I'm going to be ushered in the presence of God. Not a bad place. Not a bad deal. But every day I'm repenting. You want true revival? Worship of accepting your role on this earth. Repent for every sin you ever committed. And then go to work. This is simple. This is the simple. The simple way to live God's plan for your life. It's actually God's plan for everybody's life. Go ye. Go ye. Not come ye, go ye. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here, right here, Father, be ready. Waiting, looking for that acceptable time. Preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and doctrine. Do your job. Join not the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, Homeland Security. I'm your security. Without me, you can't do nothing. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked. Just stand. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And give the glory. And she said, give all the glory to God. Once we do that, I feel comfortable. Maybe if I had did that before I got to the Grizzly game, I could have enjoyed the Grizzly game. But there's probably was something in my life that God said, you need to repent for that. Did you tell your kids you love them this morning? You told the karate kids you love them. You didn't even tell your own daughter she passed you. You didn't even tell Michael Jr. he passed you. Because you too hung up on yourself, Mr. Cassie. Get on your knees and repent. I challenge you. You want revival in this city? You could start a revival, but it won't be of God. Because it's going to take Jesus Christ to ignite that. You don't have to worry about doing nothing. When that riot started, I was in the riots of 1965 in L.A., when they burned half of the city down, it started with a guy, one guy. And I was right there in the corner, Marquette Fry, and the police was beating him in the head. And all the people that were around didn't like it and decided, we got to do something. Well, God is beating us on the head. When is it time to do revival? With all these churches in Memphis, in Shelby County, you got to be kidding me. Y'all afraid? Well, maybe you better hang out with me. Because ain't nothing going to happen to me until God's appointed plan. That's why me and Rozelle ain't scared to go into the prison. And that's why the prisoners look like they scared of us. Because they see that anointing of God. Oh yeah, the anointing of God. Holy Ghost time. Third person of the Godhead. You got that heart. That's why she could do what she do. She just ain't lucky. And then sometimes you have to be a martyr. You have to accept that God picked you to be a martyr. Martin Luther King, you gone. Megan Everett, you gone. Kennedy, you gone. We ought to do something. And you can't afraid to die. Henry and them ought to have thousands of people marching or whatever in this area. But look, why is Henry at least able to do this in this neighborhood? This whole neighborhood ought to be doing that. Think about it. And we don't got to come over here. We who live in the suburbs or in the hood, we can do it too. I started out in the hood. I recruited my whole neighborhood into the Communist Party.
There was the Black Panthers, the Black Nationalists. They was all in the community. There was the Communist Party before I joined them. They were all wanting us to be a part of them, right? And I recruited for the Communists. I just went out. I'm recruiting, and my life is on the line. The LAPD didn't like me. My parents didn't like me. The world didn't like me because of what the United States stands for, and communism is against capitalism. But I'm here at Henry Hutton's home in front of a microphone talking right now. You can't stop God. You won't stop him. You could shut me down from this microphone, but not from this one. You could keep me out of a building, and that's probably exactly where God wanted me to be. In the streets. Yes. So you think about your role. But why are you thinking about it? Accept what it is. Repent. And then wait on the Lord. He shall renew your strength. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint, and young men shall utterly fall. But them that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Love you. Peace.
Good word, brother. Good word. Wilson, could you come up here and close us in prayer? Paul, could you? Do you have time to do Revelation song? Okay. I think we need to use this last portion to pray in light of this being an election day. And I'm not making this political, but I told this man Saturday evening that we'd be praying for him today. Bill Lee. He's been a great governor the last 4 years, and was invited up to Nashville tonight for his victory celebration, and I told him I was going to be at Fred Tappan's victory celebration tonight. So we need to lift up these men that the Lord has given us to, lead our nation, lead our country, lead our state, lead our city, and I really believe today is going to be a pivotal day to help take back some of the ground that the adversary has taken over the last couple of years. We have got to take back our Senate, we've got to take back our House, we've got to close the border, secure the border, stop the bleeding, build the wall, we've got to get back to energy, taking the energy out of the ground here in the United States, quit depending on other people. And this man right here served for 10 years in Saudi Arabia, underground church. And just like Carol, he put his life on the line to minister the gospel. And Wilson is a godly man. He's an engineer. God's brought him here to Memphis. Him and his family are just being planted here at Grace Chapel in Collierville. And as Paul leads us in the Revelation song, I'm going to ask Wilson to close us in prayer. And you know what freedom's all about. You know that you can't take a Bible to Saudi Arabia. Even if you're in the military, you're not allowed to have a Bible even in Saudi Arabia in the military, U.S. military. I mean, it can cost you your life, and you know that more than anybody else in this room, Wilson.
Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24 says, "The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Amen. Those who fear him.
Yes.
Though he may fall, He'll not be utterly cast away, but his hand will hold." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day, O God. Lord, we heard the word of Father this morning, O God, that, Lord, a repentant heart is the heart that you look for. The heart of desires you look for, and you're delighted with that, O Father, Lord. and you call them good men, O Father. Lord, we thank you for this time that you have given us to praise you, worship you, and hear your word, O Father, Lord. And every word that falls in our hearts, O Father, it's a seed that brings it fruit, O Father, Lord. Lord, this morning, O God, I call upon everyone in this meeting, O God. The seed that has been sown in our hearts, let it bear fruits, O Father, in areas which you want, which you called us for. Your word of God says, O Father, Lord, whom you predestine, them you call. Whom you call, them you also justified. Whom you also justified, to those you glorified. Lord, I thank you, God. And I know, Father, Lord, we are called, we are justified. And we praise you for being our God and our Savior. This morning, as we go out from here, Father, Lord, we know, Father, Lord, we are filled with your word. We are filled with your passion for you. And let your name be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, we're looking for volunteers. I sowed the seed. She on the farm.